Hey everyone, this is Chris Keys for PremierGuitar.com, hanging out with Mark Morton of Lamb of God. How you doing, Mark?
Hey, how you doing?
Good to see you.
Good. And this is Jake. Jake, how you doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
Good.
How you doing?
Well, we're right here with your guitar boat. We might as well start here.
These are the Jackson Dominions. It's a signature model I developed with the good folks at Jackson Guitars several years ago.
Because it is different than anything that Jackson's known for, at least, you know, with the soloists and the stuff that they've done in that and the Kelly. Like, what did you design, or what did you want for the body shape in that regard?
I think my primary motivation was to have the guitar kind of reflect elements of more classic guitars that I really enjoy playing and that I really admire, the Telecaster, the Les Paul, the Jaguar, just older, more kind of classic vintage looks. I was pretty flattered and excited that the folks at Jackson allowed me to implement that into what they do, because they are, like you mentioned, more known for modern stuff and some of the more angular kind of weaponry looking guitars. And we went for something a little older, and I think it, like I said, I think it's kind of a nod to some of those older, more classic designs.
Pull them out and see what these beauties look like.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the newer ones here. This is a custom one. It's a little bit of a deviation from what we normally do with them, with the placement of the volume and the tone. But it's a spalted maple. It's one I asked for specifically. You know, mahogany body with a spalted maple top, and it's a pretty unique guitar. It's super heavy. It's a little bit brighter than the normal ones we're doing, and it's not chambered. I don't believe, Jake, is this one chambered? It's not. Yeah. So, it's got a unique sound compared to some of the others.
What prompted you to change the controls down here?
Well, actually, surprised me with it. I didn't ask them to do that, but they just. I think the builder decided to take a little bit of artistic license.
Do you like it?
I love it. I love it. Yeah. And it's cool to have something a little bit different, you know, because I like a little bit of variety. You know, you go to a different instrument for different things. We've been using this one most recently for the drop C stuff.
Okay.
Although right now we pulled it out, we went with a different guitar for the past few shows, but you know, we kind of bring them in and out just to switch it up a little bit. So this is a really unique and cool piece.
And does this have the Duncans in it, or your new DiMarzio signature pickup?
DiMarzio. It's the DiMarzio. That's called, the pickup's called the Dominion as well. I guess that's a whole nother conversation, but something that we developed with Steve Blucher at DiMarzio over the course of a couple years, and went through some custom wines and really kind of landed on something that we thought was special. And they liked it. I liked it enough where I pretty much put it in everything we're playing, and they liked it enough where they wanted to market it.
What did you hear that you wanted to change or improve from the 59 and the other Duncans that you used? What kind of, like, were you and Steve kind of developing with the pickup?
So we didn't really start with the Duncan as a base point. We really started with
So you're looking for a whole new Duncan.
Well, we started with the DiMarzio, the Breed, which is a Steve Vai pickup, and that's kind of what I was used as a sort of a starting point, a platform. And then what we did was found ways to make it a little creamier, the way it saturates, like a little bit of a tighter saturation.
Okay.
It's still got that kind of funky, slightly swept sound, but it also cuts real good on the single note stuff. So it was a nice balance between getting lots of sustain and lots of slice with the lead stuff, but also getting a real, like, kind of boomy, powerful, and thick crunch, you know, for the rhythm stuff.
Cool.
So what else we got, Jake? Tell us about Red Number One. This is Jake's favorite, right?
Yeah,
here.
Yeah.
Why is it your favorite, Jake?
Man, you know, being a guitar guy, you know how some guitars just have it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's, you can't pinpoint it to one particular thing or the other. This guitar has it. It's just got the vibe. It's got everything.
The mojo.
The mojo.
This is one of the earliest ones you got, right? This is one of the earliest ones that you got built from Jackson?
Yeah, this is, I would say, one of the first four or five. We call it Red Number One. I think it was, as I recall, it was the third custom shop one we got. But we call it Red Number One just because it's kind of the first string, the quarterback. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's actually, it's been around a lot. It's in a lot of photo shoots and you know, ads and that kind of thing. You'll see it a lot when you see pictures of us playing live. You'll see this one a lot.
Anything particular about this one, Jake, that Mark liked to set up or you do to keep it, you know, keep it going to number one?
The great thing about these Jackson guitars is I basically clean them. Keep them clean and everything works. Everything's top notch on them. Once we got our setup dialed in with each other, I mean, we just keep all of them the same, and just, like I said, they take care of themselves. I clean them and string them every day, and that's all, you know, that's all I ever have to do.
He's being modest. He keeps them perfect for me, but this is, our drop C guitar, right?
Yeah.
And this is one of the Black Beauties, and this will actually be being marketed in 2013. It's going to be one of the new options for the Pro Series, the Jackson Pro Series, and it's. You know, it's got the gloss black with the binding and the gold hardware. It's going to come stock with the DiMarzio Dominions in it. The unfinished neck in the back, which I like a whole lot. Just a better, more comfortable feel for me. You know, kind of things stick a little more. I have a kind of a weird technique sometimes. Jake actually pointed out, it was the first to really kind of beat on me about it. But I wind up, when I play, a lot of times I'll bring my thumb around and I'll almost play the neck like it's a piano, where most guys have their thumb kind of firmly planted on the back. For I think it's because my hands are small or I'm doing a lot of stretch stuff, but I wind up bringing my hand around and doing it like that. So I don't know. I've just over the years figured out that I like the unfinished neck. It's just kind of, it's more comfortable for me.
This is if there'll be any more colors introduced in 2013.
Yeah, well, let me show you one we're working on too. I don't know if we finalized this one yet, but this is a proto. We call this one White Boy. And it's we're hoping to get this one in the mix as well. So hopefully this will be one of the guys that we're going to market to for 2013.
What's the pickup in the neck there?
That is. Do you
that's
remember,
a Dominion.
Do you remember what
that was? That was one of the prototype Dominions.
And we just swapped this one out.
Yeah, that's swapped this one out.
Is that a Dominion?
That's
as well?
A Gravity Storm, is what that one is.
Okay, yeah, yeah. We're trying out a few different pickup options because this one actually sounded a little bit brighter than some of the other ones. So we wanted to figure out why, and so we're in the process of trying out a few different pickups too, just for point of reference.
What about for strings and all these? You know, any changes in gauges between the tunings and stuff?
We use a Dunlop 10 to 48 on all the drop D stuff. It's just the A's 440. You know, it's just drop D, regular drop G. And then the C sharp, it's 10 to 50. We're just a little. We use the heavy chords. They're just a little heavier on the three strings.
Not too much slag.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Give it a little more meat.
When we're talking about your guitars and strings, I didn't ask you about your pick. What's gauge pick are you using?
Dunlop Tortex 1.14.
And any particular reason why you like that one?
I find the heavier picks are just faster off the string, and I like the kind of talky, chalky texture to them. Just kind of can hang on to them a little better.
How's this work? Do you have one amp and then the other one's a backup, or are they both running at the same time?
They're both running. Basically, what we got is the bottom head right here. That's Mark's stage sound. Okay. I'm running two 4x12 cabinets with that. I'm slaving out into this power amp, and then we're also running a Mesa 2x12 wedge. It's just his guitar, and it's run straight off the amp, so the sound stays the same. This head right here runs to the ISO cabinet, which is what goes to the front of house.
Okay. And then I know that in the videos and different magazine articles that you've done recently in the last album cycle was that you kind of fell in love with the Royal Atlantic. Is that kind of something you're keeping at home for the studio, or just kind of jamming on that, or is that why you stick with the Mark series for the road?
We're actually waiting to get our Royal out here. There's one currently in transit. It's kind of a long, convoluted story, but basically we've been figuring out a way, because the fact that we have a different signal going to front of house than we do on the stage, we had to really decide what we were going to do with signal path so that we could blend, because ideally, the ideal sound and what you're hearing on some of the stuff in the studio is a Royal and a Mark IV put together, right? So since we have two amps going two different places, we're finalizing our signal path on how to get them both. So in a matter of literally days, we're going to have another Royal out here. So there's going to be a Royal and a Mark IV going to the stage, and then a Royal and a Mark IV going up front. And so that's the ultimate blend and ultimately what we're going for. If I have to pick one, it's the IV.
Yeah.
But ideally, I've got the Royal and the IV going at once. So
because your name's on it?
No, not really. It's just it's really just been kind of my mainstay. It's like been the foundation of my tone for years. But the lucky folks here in Texas in about a week or so are going to get to hear them both at the same time.
With what you and Willie do across the other side of the stage, he uses Marks too, I believe, right? And
yeah.
How do you dial up your tones and your control settings and stuff to work with his, not work against?
I think it's developed itself naturally. I mean, in that I do pretty much all of the lead playing. I tend to just naturally gravitate towards a little bit brighter, I think, you know, a little more mids built into my sound just naturally. Willie's tone tends to be a bit darker and maybe a little mushier.
Okay.
So in that sense, they deviate themselves on their own. And then, you know, we've learned, even just by, you know, Jake's a really, really good guitar player, and we play very differently. We've learned that even he can just grab my guitar, play the exact same rig, and it's going to sound different than when I play. You know, I think we've really proven to ourselves that so much of your tone is really in your hands, you know. So Willie and I play very differently. I have a much heavier right hand. I'm a little more ham-fisted and beat on it, so therefore my string action is a little bit higher, and my tension is probably a little bit more, just because I'm actually just kind of pounding it. And I dig in a little harder. So I think those things, for us, luckily, they just work themselves out. Yeah. I mean, our tones are, in a broad perspective, similar, but the way we utilize them and our touch on the instrument, and then those are different. And like I said, I think I have a little bit more of a mid presence than he does.
Knowing what you use in the studio, how do you combine the Royal Atlantic and the Mark series heads?
The Royal, I think the thing I liked most about it, just right out of the gates, was that it's got a very modern distortion, but not that saggy low end that has become so popular, you know, in the past, you know, I don't know, 6 or 7 years, this really loose low end, which I never really was a fan of. The Royal has a very present low end, but they tightened it up, so it actually, the gain structure is a little closer to what I've always gone for with these anyway. And then, you know, the Mark IV has just such an amazing mid presence, and in that EQ, you know, there's a couple of those knobs, those faders where it's all right there, you know. it's the, really the magic's in it. Yeah, and so I think we really just get dialed in with our mids on the Mark IVs, and then what the Royal's going to bring is just bring a bottom end that the IVs don't have inherently on their own. So we just get this huge full-bodied sound, you know what I mean?
In terms of like a song like Remorse for the Dead, or Remorse is for the Dead, mm-hmm. where it's real, starts off real quiet, how do you have the dynamic switches in that? Is that something you just dial back on your guitar with the volume knob, or are you controlling like a channel switcher where it has a real clean mispress, and then you're able to, you know, stomp for the channel to go up to your normal high gain rhythm sections,
or
actually volume?
We don't play that song live, but I know what you mean, going from the clean to the distortion. Number six, we were doing that in the middle.
He was rolling back with his volume, and I just lose one of the gates, so it's not choking everything off, and then when it comes back in heavy, no channel switching, no, it's all him.
And what I'll actually do is switch to, in those applications, I'll switch to the neck pickup.
Okay.
And so that's one of the things that I considered when designing the guitar, is it's got its own individual volume and tone for each pickup.
Oh, right.
So I can dial the volume back on my neck pickup and have it really clean, and use my pickup selector switch there, and then just with one quick stroke, we're back blasting again, especially if he's working the gate back here. So
what are you using for cabinets out front and speakers and stuff?
They're the Boogie Stiletto, regular factory Boogie Stiletto 412s.
And then going forward, I guess, with the rest of the signal chain, what are you using for effects, I guess, here out in the rack, since we're looking at it?
Right here, we got all Dunlop MXR pedals. We got a GTOD, which is basically just a boost. I kick that on when Mark's doing leads and stuff like that, sometimes to flavor certain parts. Got a Phase 90, also just flavor, and the Carbon Copy Delay. It's the best sound of delay pedal I ever heard in my life.
Such a small box, too.
Yeah.
The Boss NS2, it's such high gain that we have a couple different gates. We've got this one, and then this one on the front end, which is the DBX 266XL. It's a compressor and a gate. So that's I think that's the first in our chain, right? We hit that right out of the Sennheiser into that, and then we go through the pedal chain. And then we've got the rack Crybaby, where we'll actually, the beauty of those is you can run several different controllers.
Yeah.
So there's, I've got one up front by my wedges where I can actually work the wah while I'm doing a solo, but then there's a part later in the set in a song called In Your Words where I'm kind of busy and don't really want to mess with it, so Jake's got one back here, and as I said earlier, Jake's a phenomenal guitar player, so he really gets what needs to be done, so he'll actually work the wah for some of that stuff back here too. And and if you watch him, you know, during the set, he's playing the rig and, you know, clicking stuff on and off and turning knobs. He really gets the whole switching thing, because it's really a team effort, you know.
Do you ever mess with them, Jake?
One time,
or do you keep it professional?
During the show, Professor, one time during soundcheck, I did mess with the phaser and I got the Morton Stair, so I don't mess with that anymore during a soundcheck.
And there's nothing else up front of the house, just the wall that you can control if you want to, and that's it?
That's it, pedal-wise, yeah.
Right, well, thank you guys very much for your time. Thank you, Mark.
Hey, thanks a lot. Thanks for talking to us.
Thank you, Jake.
No problem, man. Thanks.
All right, let's go check out Willie's rig. Willie's world here. Can you talk to us about what he's using for guitars?
Yeah, certainly. Willie's got an ESP signature model. Only thing that has changed about this model from the model they're selling is currently we've been trying out a couple different Seymour Duncans. Right now we're doing the distortion in the bridge and still the 59 in the neck. This is the green version, camo version. He's got his inlays, star inlays, the Lamb of God flag.
To your knowledge, is there anything that Willie asked for when he helped, you know, went to design this with ESP?
He's got it's the neck through. Volume for the bridge, volume for the neck, tone, toggle switch between the two. He mainly just plays in the bridge. There are a few tunes we do with clean. I make him roll up that one and go to the neck. He's got the tone pros on it. Willie's a SIT string guy. He's got a signature model with them. It's a 10 to 48 set, standard 10 to 46, but since we dropped tune, we got rid of the 46 and put a 48. This one's drop D, and they open the set with the C-sharp guitars. Ebony fretboard, maple neck, mahogany body, bone nut.
You know it's Willie's when it has the camo.
Yes, he does, but the new one that's coming out, where he's going to be steering away from the camo.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's a... Maybe I'll show you a sneak peek of it later. This would be the second guitar he plays in the set because we start off with the C tuning. Now this is a custom shop ESP. What's different about this one is he's got the Eagles inlays as well. Willie being from Virginia. Virginia's for lovers on the back of it.
Never heard that.
Yeah, so.
Must go to Virginia.
Yeah, so he likes getting up there and distortion 59 setup. This one he's had for quite a while. I've been with Willie for over three years now, and he's had this one out. The other ones we've got over the last couple of years now. He used to have a desert camo. You see a lot of photos of that. He just loved that one so much. It sounded great. He took that one home, and that's like his studio guitar now.
Yeah.
I wish you guys came a couple days later because, like I said, we're working on that signature pickup. This is the first prototype we just got the other day. It sounds really great, except we went with the covers, and he's got the flags laser engraved.
And these are through Duncan also?
Yes, through Duncan. We've talked to him since. They're going to make a few more, put Seymour Duncan across the bottom, maybe a signature up there. But we literally just got these on Saturday. With the covers, they sound a little more low-end, a little more mid. More of a warmer feeling, not as edgy as without the cover. So we really enjoyed the tone we got off this. And like I said, a couple more days from now, I should have different versions of these and, you know, different covers. And
just to clarify, they're the same pickups, they're just with the covers, or there's something different? No,
same pickup, just we changed the cover. We put the black chrome nickel on as a cover because we went with the Lamb of God flag laser etched on it. Obviously Willie's favorite football team.
Big win last night against the Giants.
Yes, he was very excited. He was in a good mood. So, but yeah, this one just being the signature model anybody could purchase. Once again, it has the star inlay as opposed to his custom shop. All straps are Levies, Dunlop strap locks on everything pretty much. Just the backup in C-sharp. His C-sharp guitars, we actually, we bumped the gauge up a bit. It's an 11 to 50 set. But same thing. Picks, Willie's he's a Dunlop guy, 1 millimeter. It's current, this record he's using. Signature on the back, logo on the one side, Tortex. Product-wise, cleaning-wise, a lot of Dunlop products. Big Ben's nut sauce, we use on pretty much every time we restring guitars and whatnot.
How often are you restringing?
I pretty much do three guitars a night and three basses a night. If they play it the night before, I like to clean them up and restring them the next day for them. Basically, it goes from the guitar, wireless. He's got the Samson wireless here, the six. Older unit, they don't even make them anymore, discontinued. But it's what he's got. It works for him. He's happy with it. So, I'll do like a main and a backup in each tuning and vice versa. So he'll start off with the C sharp and then I'll go back and forth. Got a 60-foot cable ready if he needs it. And then this just mute goes out of that. He goes into the compressor. Out of that, it comes into the tuner. Out of the tuner, into the chorus. Chorus we only use when I go to clean, just wet in the tone. Not as dry. Out of that, into the noise suppressor, which then goes into, in the back there's a Palmer split, which splits into the two heads. The top head is his stage head. I've got two 412, Mesa Boogie 412, traditional 412s on stage that this head powers. That's just for him. The bottom head controls an ISO cab, which I'll show you in a minute. It's in this big box right over here. Inside that, there's a bunch of microphones, and that's the tone that our monitor guy's rolling with, and our front of house guy, Brian Griffin, is rolling with. It's more of a controlled sound for Brian. We can, make a few changes here, and it doesn't affect Willie's stage tone as much.
What's in this treasure chest?
Well, this is Willie's ISO cab. Brian, there he is, actually, Brian Griffin. Come say hello. This is audio engineer, front of house for Lamb of God, Brian, tour manager extraordinaire. This is what he gets his tone from here. Basically, that bottom head drives this cabinet, and Brian's got a couple mics in here, and we don't mic anything on stage. This is basically it. Yeah, so just the same cabinet he has on stage, Mesa Boogie 412, traditional there. He really hasn't made any changes since I've been here in the last 2 years. 3 years since we've gotten this rig together. This is a backup up here.
Interesting choices for the tape on the color there. That's the cow with it being Cowboys colors and Willie being a big Redskins fan.
Oh, I didn't even think of that, man. I just threw it together. I'm Canadian. I'm not
function over fashion. Yeah,
I'm Canadian. So
that's your excuse.
As you can see, made in the USA by a Canadian.
To trademark that.
Yeah, it's all done back here. I'll go clean the dirty for him, and I'll turn the two on. I'll shut the noise suppressor off so it doesn't, kill the tone of the clean.
So he can just play up there.
Yeah, he gets confused when he tries doing both. Yeah, it was funny. The first show on this new tour, he comes up to me and he goes, "I didn't hear the new record, and there was a tune. I need you to do that thing." And I was like, "That thing? What's that thing?" He's, "That thing where the clean to dirty." I'm like, "Oh, okay. Well, could I have the song?" Yeah.
What song was that?
The number six. Yeah, there's a couple parts in the middle. It bounces back and forth.
What cables are you using to patch the pedals in?
I use all guitarcable.com for his rig. Everything is guitarcable.com. All SIT strings. Big Ben's Nut Sauce. They've been great to him.
Big lighters.
Yes, lighters, Velcro. He's always looking for a lighter, so I finally just Velcroed the thing there and said, "Make sure you don't take that when you leave the stage." John's a Jackson guy. I'll show you his older basses. He's he doesn't play it. This would be one of the first ones that I believe one of the first ones he got. So going by the serial numbers that I see, it's a trans black gloss jumbo frets. He's got the EMGPs and the EMG 35 triple band set up there, bolt on neck. John is a DR guy. He plays DR strings, 45 to 105, the DDT strings that they have now. Really loves them. Black hardware. But one he doesn't play. This is the backup. And then the badass bridge, obviously, there, yeah. Same thing, Dunlop strap locks. He's a Dunlop strap guy, but yeah. This would be the one he starts out with. This is the C main. This one has the Warbird inlay on the 12th fret.
It's refreshing to see John as a metal guy in a metal band, groove metal, that is using all four strings, not five or six. So yeah. It's cool to see that. Yeah.
So Sometimes he only uses three. No, but no, he if you actually look at some of the older stuff years ago, he apparently he played a Gill and he broke a tuning peg, so he got rid of the G string and he played for a long time with just the top three strings. That's his C sharp main, and then I'll show you his second guitar he goes to would be this is the newest one. We just got it at the beginning of this tour. Prior to this tour, the band auctioned off some of their gear for the Randy Blythe front, and he had a Warbird black and a white one that he had. He ended up auctioning, Jackson replaced it with this one. It's got the JC on the 12th. LWBRW. It's a bike company he works with. Of course, John likes his bling. John was in Cadets. You get mustache rides around here for 5 cents, apparently. But that's the second one he goes to. That's the would be the first one in drop D, and he doesn't change to gauges of strings. All his strings are the same, 45 to 105. And then he's got the white version of that. The white one, the red one, and then the two that were auctioned were all made about 2.5 years ago. All at the same time.
Are these custom shop, or are these just like ones that you would find off the shelf?
These are from, straight out of Japan, made in Japan, from what I understand. They did the custom inlay for them in colors, but that one there too is the same one you can just order yourself. John likes all his picks scored. As you see, I get to scratch my boss's face. I had a buddy back home, Jeff Lowe's on Tool and Die Guy. I had him make up this this little device here. I put these picks in instead of, wrecking my fingers. And
oh, wow.
Yeah.
I knew that Dimebag, he was known for doing that too.
Scratching with a better grip.
Then I could just turn it around and do.
Is that like your touring stress ball whenever you have a tough day?
John, you But no, it's you got to grab the, it's like an old drill bit or something. He ended up sharpening. You just find the right way and give it a try. Come on, get in there.
I'll see what it's all about.
Try it. Oh, yeah, you got to get the right angle on it.
Well,
so not anybody can.
Yeah.
Job security.
I'm out.
So Intune guitar picks, he uses a 1.14 it's the Grip-X they have, 1.14 Grip-X. And I got to score like 40 of these a night because he just flings them out.
Count everyone he chucks.
I do. Every time a stagehand asks for one, I go in a bag and I give him one that's not scored. His rig goes from the guitar, same thing. He's got the Samson 6. It goes out of that for him into the multi-selector. I've got the AAB cable, mute, pretty much same thing. It goes out of that, actually comes up here on top of his rig. He's got his the Boss TU3 into the EBS. They make this great comp that he just enjoys, into the Samsamp bass driver, which then goes out of that into the Mesa Boogie 400 Plus. We got a main and a backup down there.
Is he using the compressor a lot, or is it just kind of here and there all the time?
These two are on all the time. Front of house takes a line off the DI, and then they mic the cab. And that's basically what they get for John. Boogie, man, this it, never they never let down with their products.
Well, thank you very much.
Awesome. Thanks for coming down.
Thank you. This is Chris Keys for PremierGuitar.com.